You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 445, here to preview Notre Dame's matchup with LSU in the 2017 bowl game. It'd actually be in 2018, but 2017 season. Randall's here as well. Randall, how are you?
It's going good, and I do have some good news. As far as I know, Stefferson has gone 24 hours without getting arrested.
Wow, this should be... You know how they have that Santa tracker where you can track Santa across? We should have something for Stefferson maybe where we can track to every day. Or maybe a better analogy would be, you know how at work they have, we've gone one day without work-related
injury.
We've gone 2 days. So maybe we can start something like that. It is really disappointing. Yeah, since we recorded last time, we found out that he had been arrested the day before the shoplifting incident. Stopped for speeding and had possession of drugs.
Well, he had possession of marijuana, and I don't think he had a valid driver's license.
That's right, yeah.
And that was the day before, so somebody pointed out that maybe he just knew that he was in trouble anyway, so he decided to steal a pair of pants. And I think he was actually wearing the pants when he walked out, so it wasn't like he stuck it in his bag. C.J. Holmes supposedly had the coat in his bag. Stefferson was wearing the pants when he walked out of the store.
Who knows? Maybe
that's maybe. Okay, if you're gonna be dumb enough to
maybe he was trying him on and forgot he had him on.
If you're gonna be dumb enough to steal something, at least put it in your bag so you can say, "Oh, I forgot it was in there."
Well,
if you're wearing them,
no,
there's no.
Well, it depends what he was wearing underneath, but I can see where you'd be wearing him, trying him on, maybe more, and then kind of forget. As far as I know, that's not what happened, but...
Yeah, anyways. It was interesting. Tony Berkshire did meet up with...
Nick Coleman
the other night, and just mentioned that it's too bad that some of the guys are out for the bowl game, and Coleman just said, yeah, those guys are always doing stuff like that. So
yeah, it's not very encouraging to hear.
No. These are the times they've gotten caught.
Yeah.
So, anyways, all the players were asked about it in the interviews they did last week. All the players were asked about it and about having guys missing, and they all said that they understand, you know, hey, there's a standard you have to live up to here at Notre Dame, and if you don't, you're going to get punished, and so they all understand that, and it seemed like, hey, we're going to move on.
And it is unfortunate, but every year someone doesn't make the trip.
I know.
And it's not always for something as drastic maybe as, or I guess often fans don't find out if it was shoplifting or
just like marijuana charge.
Mac. You're saying like, you don't know what that is.
Well, the rumors are that he was late for practice.
And that was, I think, what it was with Max Redfield and Tillery. For the Fiesta Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, because I remember talking about that. You know, it seems a little brutal to be out for the bowl game because of that. But it's obviously year after year. The guys know.
Yeah.
And so it's not, it's like a new rule this year. It's year after year.
I would rather the coaches be a little bit more of a hard ass than a softy, because I think it's easier for your program to spiral out of control. If you're really soft and lax with the rules, you might have a guy for a couple of years, but I think there's too big of a chance where your program just spirals out of control then.
Well, that's what happened with Miami. That's why they're called the Convicts, because things spiraled out of control. The coach let them get away with too much stuff. I mean, they basically had murderers on their team.
All right. There was some good news, though. Notre Dame did pick up another commitment.
Yes, Braden Lindsey recommitted to Notre Dame. If you remember, he had been committed to Notre Dame earlier this year. The timeline, let me see, I have the dates here. On June 14th, he had committed to Notre Dame, and then later he decommitted was on November 9th. Well, he didn't decommit on November 9th, but in November he said that they got me to commit into something that wasn't really true. And so it seems like since then they kind of cleared things up, but for some reason he was told that Notre Dame, when he, if he was going to Notre Dame, he was playing football and didn't have, they weren't going to let him play or run track. And he didn't like that. And I'm sure there was some negative recruiting from Oregon.
Do you think that was miscommunication between the coaches?
I think
and
there was
him?
Some. I think it because was both.
We've seen other players do multiple sports. And I think Brian Kelly, or maybe it was Polian. Polian made a big deal about Phil Dracovic. They like two sport athletes.
Yeah.
Not that he's going to play basketball at Notre Dame, but they.
I do think it was on the staff as well, just not making that clear with him. But they obviously did clear it up. And then when Oregon lost their coach, he decommitted again. And he announced on Friday that he's going to Notre Dame, and he actually signed with Notre Dame. The early signing period went through Friday night, and so he signed with Notre Dame and is planning to enroll early. It's kind of funny with his recruitment because I talked about it before on one of the other podcasts about Oregon coaches tweeting out a video from the Rudy movie, and when he's shaking his finger, no. Well, then this week, Brian Polian sent out a video. He just tweeted a video of Rudy. They're lifting him up, and he's cheering and carrying on. So just kind of a little jab at the Oregon coaches. But if you do get a chance, I tweeted it out. Brayden Lindsey kind of wrote a letter for his commitment, and he talked about his recruitment. And you need to read it because he explains all the different things he went through. And it makes sense. He wasn't just a kid that couldn't make up his mind, you know, not going to Notre Dame, going to Notre Dame, and he talks about all that. And he even said that after he decommitted from Notre Dame that he got death threats and he got text messages, which this could be, I think it might not be Notre Dame. It could be from other teams making Notre Dame look bad.
Yeah,
it could be trolls.
Trolls, yeah.
So you do have to remember that. We're hoping that Notre Dame fans aren't quite that psycho, but we do know there are some out there.
Where can someone read that letter, Randall?
I tweeted out the article. I'll put it on our forums. But you do need to read it because he kind of blocked all that out, and he still came back to Notre Dame because he's making a decision for him. It has nothing to do with the fans. And so it's just a good article to read, kind of a recruit's perspective, you know, what goes into commitment, recruiting, and all that. So find that, check it out, and read that. Notre Dame did miss out on Kyler Gordon the day before. It was down to Notre Dame and Washington, and he is from Washington, but when he committed, he first put on the Washington hat, then he threw that down, put on a Notre Dame hat, then threw that down, and then he had a Washington shirt on underneath his other shirt. So trying to create a little bit of drama there. But now Notre Dame is going into recruiting. They're recruiting some other guy. They actually did send out some other offer, some D linemen, but they're going after a couple more guys. They're at 21 right now, and
Brian Poyan said they'd be comfortable with up to 25.
Yeah.
24, 25. So you think that's the biggest need left over is defensive line?
No, they need an offensive lineman. They got another wide receiver in Lindsey. And yeah, one of the biggest needs is offensive line. There's still a couple big names out there, but it doesn't look like they're going to sign with Notre Dame.
So. All right. So do you expect Notre Dame to pick up a few more?
I do. I mean, look at what's happening with the team.
Signings this year yet? Okay.
Brian Kelly was asked about it a little bit the other day. You know, is he comfortable, you know, with signing this many guys? And it didn't seem it. It's obviously taken him a while to get used to that, to signing so many guys and being in jeopardy of having too many.
Yeah.
But it's never been a problem. It's always worked out. Well, then look at what happens with Stefferson. I can't imagine that Stefferson's going to be in the football team next year. It's at least three things, and the suspension at the beginning of the season, I think that's something we don't even know about because he played after the other arrest. Like, he played all last year after he'd been arrested with Coney, Redfield, and all of them.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was from the Coney incident.
So I think this is really his fourth time. And if he didn't learn his lesson after getting stopped for possession of marijuana, the next day he's stealing stuff, it's not going to change. And obviously from what, you know, Coleman said the other night, that's kind of who he is. I mean, that's how those guys are. And I do not, he hasn't been kicked out of Notre Dame. Brian Kelly said it just comes down to, you know, he has to decide what to do with him on the football team. But as harsh as they've been, you can't tell me that you suspend a guy for a bowl game for being late for practice that you're going to let a guy with four strikes against him back on the football team.
Yeah.
And it's just a distraction. It keeps other guys from stepping up and being that start, being that.
Yeah, it takes away opportunities for other guys in practice because Stevenson's getting reps where he's not going to be utilized at all as a receiver in a game.
So
this in the bowl game anyway.
There's always a couple guys out. It ends up that some guys take medical red shirts, just don't play. You know, they've had injuries, and maybe that helps them decide on whether they're not going to play or not. Some guys are obviously not going to keep playing, are going to get on the playing field. And so, yeah, they're totally fine. They're still going to be under the 85-man limit next season.
Yeah.
All right, probably even if they sign 30.
let's move on then and start talking about the game with LSU. Let's just start. I've got a couple things I want to talk about. Number one, the losses on both sides of the ball. And then I also want to talk about, you know, what are some things you're looking for to come out of this game? After this game, Randall, what are some takeaways that you think we'll be able to get? Specifically, Brandon Wimbush, you know, what's it going to take for you to say, you know what, there is an improvement, or this is the same passer. We know what he can do on the ground, but this is the same passer that we had most of the year and where your confidence might be dropping. But let's first talk about just some general numbers comparing LSU and Notre Dame. And let's start with the biggest shock. This LSU football team has more passing yards than Notre Dame. And this is the first time in at least 5 years. I went back to 2012, and every season Notre Dame passed for more yards than LSU except for this season.
Well,
the LSU as a team has passed for 2,400 yards, and Notre Dame has passed for 2,100 yards.
That I just want to point this out. That's why we do not want Les Miles as a head coach. Anybody that wants to talk about Les Miles, just look at that. Think we have issues in the passing game now? His teams have no offense.
They somehow manage to score points. Just when I was looking at, you know, the average amount of points they score per game, which obviously he's not the coach this year, but they usually are hovering around 27 to 31 points per game, which I agree their offense is usually, it's not effective or efficient, but somehow.
Well, they have the help of defense. They always have a good defense, so they get some help from the defense on scoring. Short fields or defense scoring themselves. That's why their scoring numbers have been so high in the past couple of years.
This year, they are averaging 28 points per game. Notre Dame's at 35. Defensively, they're giving up just under 19 points per game, and Notre Dame is just under 22 points per game. Even though LSU has passed for more yards than Notre Dame, their rush-to-pass ratio, it's 2-1. They rush 2-1. Times two rushes to one pass. So they still heavily rely on the running game, which has been, you know, a staple of LSU the past, I don't know, decade at least, probably more. They are rushing, and the outcome, they're rushing for 200 yards, and they're passing for, you know, just roughly 200 yards too. Notre Dame's not quite as balanced. Notre Dame's rushing for almost 280, passing for 175. And then defensively, they're giving up 310 yards per game. Notre Dame's giving up 366. But again, Notre Dame relies a lot on that turnover. And when Notre Dame was rolling, it was because of forcing turnovers and the offense capitalizing. LSU, really, a lot of their games, when you look at, came down to turnovers. I mean, they had one turnover against Alabama, which they lost. They did overcome one turnover against Auburn, which they did beat that game. But then their last two games of the season, turnovers played a huge role in that. They were very They barely turned the ball over on offense, and they forced a handful of turnovers on defense. And they're giving up, as I said, about 310 yards total, and 185 of those are passing yards and 126 are rushing yards. So really pretty stout in their rushing defense, not giving up a whole lot of yards there. So that's just kind of a general rundown. This defense is very good. However, if you look at the FEI ratings, they're not as good of a defense as you would expect. They're overall they're 32nd. Their FEI rank is 32nd, which is surprising because I figured it would be a lot higher. Notre Dame's at 21.
Well, I think a lot of it with this LSU team is that they started slow. They had their first couple games were bad, and they lost to Troy. But they ended the season strong and made up ground. But the reason they're lower is because they had a bad start to the season. But they are trending in the right direction.
And this ranking, you're right, is for the entire year. It doesn't take into account how good of a defense they're, where they're playing defense right now. It's the entire year. Okay. Let's just start with losses on both sides of the ball. I think we're all familiar with Notre Dame's losses.
There's basically a bowl game to see which team can
suit up
22 guys.
I did think it was pretty funny. ESPN, when they did their preview for the matchup for the bowl game, they did mention McGlinchey versus the LSU's best pass rusher,
Key,
but he's not playing in the game. And so, at least that seems like one positive takeaway, I guess, for Notre Dame. Notre Dame lost some key players, no question about it. Stevenson, I don't think, can be replaced this quickly. And I don't think he can be replaced even next year if he doesn't play next year. But LSU is also playing without some key players, no pun intended. So they have their rushers, their pass rusher, but they also have a handful of linebackers as well that are going to be out.
Well, they have three linebackers that are out. Corey Thompson, Donnie Alexander, and obviously Arden Key. And Corey Thompson and Arden Key are their best pass rushers on the team. So you got three guys out of their front seven that are out. And that's going to be huge for Notre Dame, because their strength hopefully is the run game, because LSU does have a very good secondary, and the guys they're getting replaced with, Key is being replaced by, I mean, they have two guys that kind of take his play, all his snaps. Chasen is a true freshman, and then Ray Thornton is a redshirt freshman, so there you got two young guys. Alexander's replaced by true freshman Ray Thornton. But he actually started four games this year because of injuries that Alexander had. And then Thompson's being replaced by true sophomore Michael Divinity. So you got young guys. I know one of their safeties is a true freshman. It's a very young secondary. So obviously Notre Dame has to take advantage of those matchups. Hopefully they don't try to get too cute, try to out-scheme them too much. But they need to take advantage of this. So they've got a young defense, but they have been putting up good numbers. They also, one other, their kicking specialist, Cameron Gamble, is also out for the bowl game. So it's, yeah, guys missing on both sides of the ball. I think it's kind of lost the bowl game. It's lost a little bit of its luster because both teams are missing
big time. But I think it is this way across college football.
Oh, I agree.
Besides the playoff games, and I'll give you the New Year's Six as a whole. Those are still special. But these other bowl games, they just don't. They're good for the football team and program, but for me as a fan, it doesn't mean that much. Except that I'm interested in seeing. And I guess this kind of is the next topic I want to talk about. What are you looking for coming out of this game? And so I'm interested in seeing Brandon Wimbush. Does he make strides? in accuracy, in his mechanics, but more importantly, just in his consistency. Because we saw him make great throws and then have a crappy throw in the same game, even, in from one series to the next series look different. And I just want to see consistency from him. He doesn't need to come out and pass for 250 yards and have 70% completion. I just want to see him make plays that are there. And if there's an open wide receiver, hit him in stride.
Well, I'm not going with that because I can tell you already, I think you're going to be disappointed. Because LSU has one of the best secondaries, and this isn't enough time. Brian Wimbush is in a mental... It's the mental part of his game, and it's going to take more than this couple weeks. It's going to take an off season to get him to where he needs to be. So I'm not going to base Brian Wimbush off of this game. I mean, if he's improved or not. I don't think this game is a good gauge for that.
I agree that the odds are not in his favor, but I still think this is enough time that I expect to see some improvement. If I don't see any improvement, I will be disappointed. And it won't even have to come down to having a much higher completion percentage. I just want him to hit the open receivers that are there and not bounce passes to receivers or running backs in the flat.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to base anything on how he...
Well, okay.
What I want to see is if this team actually comes out and plays with fire and looks well-rested. If they can come out and compete more like they did at the beginning of the year, then yes, we can admit that they were obviously fatigued and that the team was mentally broken down. But if they come back if they come out and look like they did the second half of the season, then it was more than just that. Because
if they do come out and look rested and you can see that fire is back in them, to me, the only answer for that, aside from you can do some things with scheduling that would help, but
you do a lot of things with schedule, especially next year's schedule.
I think depth is the biggest area to take some of that responsibility and workload off of your starters, have a better depth so you can have better rotation.
Yeah. Or
guys to step in when they're needed.
Yeah. But I feel like this team is going to look more like the team we saw in the first half of the year. I really do. I think they've had time to rest up, get mentally prepared for this. And yes, they did have finals last week, but they're all going home see their families for a week, which they haven't for a long time. And then they come back to Florida and practice down there. I think this team is going to come out with the fire that we saw at the beginning of the year.
So, but you're not putting zero into Brandon Wimbush, right? Don't you think that the how many practices do they have?
15.
Over more than 15 at the area. We're around 15 practices.
It's mental.
I know, but that's enough. I mean, lot of time. That's not going through the week-to-week grind. The weeks that he has had off, which will be about four weeks.
Here's what... I know I said they have time to rest up, but this is still... He's still with the same team. It's still the same season. He's got to get out of this year and reset himself.
But, Randall, that can happen.
As soon as he goes out, he's going to have a tough throw against this LSU defense, and he's going to fall right back in then. I don't expect him to have that good a game.
I think that this is enough time that you can come out and be a different...
Not with his issues.
I think he can.
No. It's going to take an off season and basically the reset button from this season to get him to where he needs to be.
A little bit off
topic. If it's like things like that, which there are some, but I think it's because of his mental...
We totally agree on that.
If it would just be that... Then yes, you could work on that, whatever. But he has to have a brain reset, basically.
I think that can happen.
Not since the end of the season. But it's still all the same players. Everything's the same. It's the same season. Everybody's still talking to them about what happened this season.
Do you remember how different this team looked after 2014, from the end of 2014 to the LSU game? They had a different quarterback, different starting quarterback.
Well, yeah. They didn't because Everett Golson needed to have a reset and there wasn't enough time to do it.
Well, that still didn't work. But I disagree with you on that. I think it's enough time that we can see, I expect to see improvement.
He could have improvement, But if he comes out and has a bad game, I'm not going to say that he's not, that that's just Brandon Wimbush and that's how he's going to be. Because I think next year is going to be a different story.
I am with you there, but again, my confidence will, if there's no improvement, my confidence will be, I'll be disappointed.
Just, and you know, obviously a lot of Notre Dame fans are down on the season, just everything, but we're not the only fan. Here's a quote on the ESPN page. The first quote under the Notre Dame LSU game is from an LSU fan. Yet again, another lemon bowl for LSU and no playoffs. If LSU loses this game and no playoffs for LSU next year, will LSU please, please fire the gruffy, ugly O coach along with the cancerous AD Oliva? Enough of mediocrity. So every team has that same issue. And every team will have that issue unless your team wins a championship. So,
is there anything else you're looking forward to coming out of this game?
Yeah, I do think Notre Dame is going to win the game. And I think it's just going to kind of change the mentality around the team, just kind of change things. Everybody will be a little more upbeat and better expectations for next year. I could almost say even more realistic expectation, because I think everybody expects so little from this team right now.
Isn't it? Everyone expected
that it's not realistic.
Everyone expected pretty much mediocrity at the beginning of the year, and then halfway through, it's like, we're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and then they have a 10 game, or they could have a 10 win season, and everybody's disappointed.
Well, I'm there.
See, I'm not. There's one team that can win it all every year. And this team has drastically improved over last year. And if they can improve a little bit, it's not going to take that much improvement to make the playoffs next year.
I know, but I'm not the reason I'm disappointed is because I don't know if they can. There was opportunity here, and I think they missed it. And I don't know if they can be better next year.
Yes, they did. They made a drastic change this year, and they can make more changes. Whether they do it or not is,
well, but don't you, don't you think like the path they're on, they just need to keep on going on that path.
Yeah, they're going uphill.
And I'm saying, I don't know if they can keep on going on that path.
Well, the only thing we can do is wait and see.
The path, it's a good path, and they're on the right path.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid they're going to fall off into the ditch. Anyway, not this game, I'm just saying before next year. One position group that, wide receiver, Miles Boykin could step up, but even if he does step up and have a big game, I still don't think he's going to be one of your top, I don't think he's going to be a starting wide receiver in 2018.
No, it's going to be one of the young guys.
So even then, it's not like, I'm not looking that forward to it, even if he would have a really big game.
Well, Julian Love was asked about that, obviously going against wide receivers in practice, and he said the two guys that have kind of stepped up and are looking to take the place of Stepherson are obviously Boykin. He said he's having really good practices. And then the other guy is Michael Young. And
now, that's exciting. If Michael Young
would have... He said he's really fast, he's got good twitch, and he's tough. He said he's kind of small compared to Miles Boykin, but he gets hit, he gets right back up. And so I think we'll see more of those two guys. Obviously, Brian Kelly said that Cam Smith will be back, but I think we're going to see those two guys. And Stepherson, especially with the commitments they got this year, Kevin Austin, Braden Lindsey, Notre Dame, it might seem like a big deal to replace Stepherson, but they did it at the beginning of the year. I mean,
no, they didn't.
They didn't replace him, I guess. But there's somebody else going to step up and take his place.
Well,
I'm not worried about it.
We thought someone would step up from the wide receiver group, and no one did. In fact, Equanimeous.
But it's going to be these young guys.
So remember when Will Fuller left, and I told you, Randall, it'll be 10 years until we have another Will Fuller. I still believe that.
Well,
and
yeah.
Will Fuller was really, really special. But
the only way those 10 years.
Yeah, you have to.
It'd be less than that was if they would have got Demetrius last year, and if they could get like Amon-Ra St. Brown this year. But
even then, there's no guarantee that they're going to be.
Braden Lindsey has the speed. He's going to have the speed. So he's a guy, kind of like Stepherson. They didn't really have that guy until Stepherson came back, Brayden Lindsay is a guy that can. We just have to see how quickly he can pick it up. But he's a guy that has the speed to do some of that. So, oh. But yeah, it is the wide receiver. That's why I'm saying this. The passing game is not going to be good because you have Brandon Wimbush being Brandon Wimbush, and then you're going up against one of the best secondaries there is, and you're without two of your starting wide receivers.
And defensively, LSU is now weaker at on their front.
Yeah.
Their front is where they're missing their starters.
So.
But Randall, we're talking about Brandon Wimbush. I'm not saying he needs to pass for 250 yards and complete 65%.
Just make the short five-yard passes.
I'm just saying, yeah, just don't hit the ankles of the wide receivers when they're 10 yards away from you.
Yeah.
And if there is a wide-open wide receiver running down the sideline, or on a post, just hit him in stride.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking for.
But you're also asking the receivers to keep running, not to run the right routes, catch the ball when it's in their hands or right at them. I just think a combination that they will not have much success running or passing the ball, and they shouldn't need to. They should be able to run the ball.
What do you think is more likely? Josh Adams has not had a long run the last three games of the year. I don't think he broke a long one. Do you think it's more likely that he breaks a 50-plus yard touchdown run or that Notre Dame has a 50-plus yard screenplay?
50-plus yard run from Josh Adams.
The screenplay is one that is still, it just has not
that shouldn't even materialized. Exist in the playbook.
I don't think it does.
But the one way the passing game can look better is that I think LSU is going to sell out on the run. And since they don't have their pass rushers, they're going to need help from the secondary. And so Notre Dame might have a chance to burn them with that.
I think you're right. To beat Notre Dame, clearly stop the run. I mean,
yeah.
Because Brandon Wimbush hasn't proven that he can take over, or the not just him, but the passing game, wide receivers and quarterback, haven't proven they can change a game through the air. So I do agree with you, and that's why I think there are going to be opportunities for Brandon to complete some nice plays.
It was kind of interesting. Tommy Kramer was asked about, you know, is it going to make a difference with the tight ends, you know, with the Brock Wright and Alize Mack being out, not being in there, will that make a difference with the run game? He's like, oh, no, you know, their unit, they do what they do, and he didn't seem concerned about them helping at all. So that's going to be a difference, too. You're not going to have Brock Wright, your blocking tight end, or fullback, and Alize Mack, which Mack didn't play against Stanford, and supposedly he might have had a little bit of an injury, but they're not really going to miss him that much. But we're going to see a lot more of Cole Kmet and Nick Wisher, and we're going to find out. I think we're going to see a little bit of what we have in them going into next year.
See, and this helps. Here's another person, player, position group where I am kind of excited about it, like Brandon, seeing how Cole Kmet looks. Because I do think that a player can look like a different player having 4 weeks off and having...
When he knows that he's going to play a lot.
Yeah, having more practice time dedicated to him. And obviously, Jermaine Smythe and Nick Wisher, they're going to be your featured tight ends. I don't think Cole Kmet's going to be featured heavily, but I think he'll get some plays, and he'll probably get a target or two.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to go through any other position groups on offense? Running backs, are the running backs now as healthy as they've ever been?
Well, they've finally had, I think you can actually say that now because they've had more time to recover. Just because they've had more time. Other times it was, they had 1 week, you know, and they're better than they have been. But now they've actually had about a month to get healthy. So that's why I think we'll see that run game again. We'll see this offensive line being able to push, have more success without the pass, or LSU's two leading pass rushers and another linebacker. This will give Josh Adams a chance to get to that second level.
And I think we'll probably see more two-back sets. We saw it early in the year. didn't see as much when Tony Jones was going through his injuries.
And
now with Alize out, so the tight end position is not quite as thinner than it was. So,
and I think this offense will have, just like they did against LSU 2 years ago in the bowl game, I think they're going to have a good game plan. They've had time to, I think Brian Kelly, he should have been more involved in the offensive game plan for this game. And like you said, they know they're going, it's an LSU team, just like they knew they were going up against Stanford. So they prepared for it. They had the two running backs. They prepared for the power of Stanford, and I think they're doing that against LSU. For some reason, it's when the staff thinks, oh, you know, this isn't a,
just
we're going up against
opponent.
Athletic Miami, then we go away from what they're good at.
I like that. Okay.
So I think they're going to have a good game plan going into this, and yeah. LSU on their offense, I mean, Darius Geis, their running back, is planning to play. He said he doesn't, you know, he was asked about sitting out for, you know, because of his draft status, you know, will he sit out the bowl game? He was like, no, he basically said he's more dedicated to this team than that. So he's going to play, but he didn't practice last week. He's nursing some injuries, so we'll have to wait and see if he is actually 100% for the game. And LSU, one of their offensive tackles is banged up as well. He's nursing a knee injury. Looks like he's going to play, but KJ Malone is his name, but the guy that replaces him, or has in a couple games that he missed, was another true freshman. So these guys, the good thing, the guys that LSU has injured are being replaced by freshmen.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame seems to have the advantage in the experience side of it.
Okay. I guess defensively, this is what worries me for Notre Dame. LSU's gonna pound it, regardless who they have at running back or wide receiver. And I give you the numbers. You know, they're about 2-1 running to passing. And I am, even though Notre Dame is has had time to rest, I'm guessing that Niles Morgan probably looks healthier than he has. And we've got all our linebackers. I mean, Greer, you know, went through a little bit through midseason, so he should be the top of his game. I'm still worried that Notre Dame's, we're not going to be able to hold up in the running game. And I'm afraid that if this game is going to be a boxing match going back and forth, I'm worried that Notre Dame's defense is going to wear down a lot the way.
They did pretty good against the good running backs this year. Look what they did to Georgia. I mean, even Love at Stanford at the end of the season when they weren't playing good, they still did a good job slowing them down.
I don't know.
And here's something else. LSU's offensive line coach is going somewhere else. He's planning to coach in the game, but he's already has another coaching job. So there's a lot of stuff going on with LSU, and I'm not worried about LSU's run game. Yeah, they have Geis, but he's kind of banged up. I mean, he's not even practicing right now.
This
you've seen
Randall,
too much. All you remember is
all
the last,
is the last three
games. Well, here's one good thing. Maybe this will help you cheer up a little bit. Their quarterback, Danny Etling, Notre Dame has played him before. He was at Purdue. He had been at Purdue for two games that they played Notre Dame. He didn't play in the one, but the game that he did play, it was in 2014. He had 234 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and he was 27 of 40. And the downside is he might want to try to show Notre Dame that they should have given him an offer, because he grew up in Indiana, grew up a Notre Dame fan, has a Joe Montana jersey hanging in his room, went to camps at Notre Dame, and never got an offer. His family, I mean, he's Catholic from Indiana. His family, he grew up being a Notre Dame fan. He grew up watching Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen. He remembers rushing home and turning on TV to watch Notre Dame USC, the Bush Push game. So the downside, he might be trying to have a career day.
And he has been more effective than that game. On this season, he only has 2 interceptions.
But Brian Kelly has coached against him before.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they didn't give him an offer, so maybe they'll try to exploit those flaws that for the reason that they didn't give him an offer. So Notre Dame has some, they've had some experience playing against him. And here's something else.
Yeah.
With their offense, their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, there's a lot of rumors out there that he does not mesh well with Ed Orgeron. And some thought that he might be gone by now. And they'd gone back and forth as far as play calling and whatnot. So who knows if that'll play a factor or not, but there's a little bit of chaos there. I'm trying to convince you that this is going to be a win.
I think it will be a win. I just think it's going to be very close. I think turnovers, if Notre Dame loses the turnover battle by more than one, I think they lose this game. I think they can handle one turnover, but I don't think they can lose it by 2. And LSU's been great on this season. Notre Dame had been great up until the Miami game. But on the season, LSU has forced 16 turnovers and they've lost 8.
Probably because they had 2 amazing pass rushers on their team that they don't have now.
Notre Dame on the season gained 20. So between fumbles recovered and interceptions, it was 20, which there was 10 of each. 10 fumbles recovered, 10 interceptions. But then they lost 15.
And LSU's interception leader, his name is Greedy Williams.
Not bad. That's good.
So I don't know if his parents knew something that nobody else did, but they named him Greedy Williams. So,
I'm ready for my score predictions. If you are,
yeah, I think I'm ready for that.
Even though I'm not convinced Notre Dame's front can hold up for 4 quarters and stop the rushing attack of LSU, I do think Brandon Wimbush will be a noticeably more confident player. And this is not based off anything other than just he in practice, it's been reported that from spring through the fall that he was phenomenal. Even a year ago when he was a backup to Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah.
That was being said. And I think that since the end of the season to now, it is enough time that his confidence maybe not be to the level that I don't think it's to the level that it can be, but I do think it'll be noticeably enough that we'll see improvement in his game. Our running backs are going to be healthy for the first time in forever. And that was an issue. Even aside from Josh Adams, we saw it in limited action for Tony Jones Jr., and we saw it when Dexter Williams, even when he did play, you could see that he wasn't full go all the time. So those guys being healthy, I think Notre Dame's running attack is going to be as effective as it has been. Now, LSU might sell out to stop it, and Notre Dame might need to balance the offense by passing some, but I think they're going to be able to do that. I still think it's going to be a close game. And if Notre Dame loses the turnover margin by more than 1, I think they lose this game. But I think they're going to be able to keep it with either even or maybe losing it by 1. I'm picking Notre Dame to win 31-27.
Very good. And just to point out, Dave Veranda is their defensive coordinator. He had come from Wisconsin, and a lot of people wanted him, or he was an option for the defensive coordinator job at Notre Dame. I don't know how much Brian Kelly considered it, but a lot of people wanted him there. I thought it would have been great to have him, but here's something to watch for. Well, I think Notre Dame, this is, everything is going more and more in favor of Notre Dame, and I think it's actually helping that some of these suspension stuff have helped, because it's almost pushing the Notre Dame coaching staff to force the run and run the ball. Because with your 2 starting receivers out, you have Alize Mack out, and you're going up against the best, one of the best defensive back, they're going to run the ball. They know that it's going to be hard to have success passing the ball, so their game plan is going to be to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll keep them away from, let's see if we can pass the ball. So I think that will help Notre Dame, and I don't think there'll be as many turnovers as you think, because Notre Dame's running backs don't lose the ball. And if they're not throwing the ball, they can't get interceptions.
For how many times Josh Adams has carried the ball, all the running backs, they have done exceptional well protecting the football.
Yes, and so with the injuries that LSU has, with the suspensions Notre Dame has, the way that Wimbush has been throwing the ball, this is all set up for Notre Dame to have a game plan and have success running the ball and look more like they did. Everyone's rested. The offensive line is good to go. They're coming off. I mean, they just got the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line. Now they know it, and they better play like it. the running backs are healthy. And then as far as Notre Dame's defense, they kind of know, Brian Kelly kind of knows what he's getting the quarterback. Their offensive line, one of their tackles is nursing an injury. Their offensive line coach is ready to go to the next school as soon as the game's over with. There's drama around the offensive coordinator and the head coach and play calling. Geis has been injured, hasn't practiced, so that hampers their run game. And so I think Notre Dame will have some success on defense, and I think the whole team will look more like the team we saw the first half of the year. Rested up, ready to go, and dominate like they had been. I'm not going to predict, you know, a USC score, but I'm going with 31-24.
Okay, all right.
So we had the same winning score.
Yeah.
But I do think it's in Notre Dame's favor.
Let's talk a little bit about... I was going to say, let's talk a little bit more about Brandon Wimbush. I mean...
We keep having these arguments.
I know.
Some of the other guys about... Well, the big talk is about the backup quarterback, Phil Dracovic, coming in.
That's something I did want to mention. The reason that we gave those numbers as far per game numbers is because Dracovic has played twice as many games his senior season compared to Brandon Wimbush's senior season. But I do think that also helps Dracovic, having played more games. Yeah. I mean, it's different, no question. It's different than playing college football.
Yeah.
But still, it's more experience than not playing them. And so, I, and again, I know we've said it, but just to reiterate it again, like, we're very optimistic about Phil Dracovic, and we think he's going to be a star at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing with LSU, this is the second year in a row that they're going to the Citrus Bowl. So, I can kind of see it be like, oh, same old stuff. This is exactly what we saw last year. Just the pregame stuff, just everything surrounding the bowl game. You know, they always have different competitions between the two teams. You know, they have suppers together and whatever. You know, see who can eat the most wings and just different things like that.
That might play in their favor.
About winning those competitions or the game?
No, the game. Like being more relaxed because it's something that they've been through.
But it's not as exciting to them.
Yeah, I would still give, for that reason, I would still, I know what you're saying.
And even fans, I wonder how much it affects the fans that will be traveling. Oh, we're just going back to the same thing we saw last year.
From a fan's perspective, I wouldn't want to go back. But LSU has enough fans that I'm sure that people who didn't go last time will want to go this time.
Yeah, possibly.
But I think that's having LSU having been there before.
Their Notre Dame was there before as well.
Well.
A couple years for the camping, not the camping. But Notre Dame has been here before. It just wasn't last year. It was a couple years ago. So it's not. So the players, a lot of the players wouldn't have been there. But the coaching staff knows, the athlete. I mean, they know how to have everything prepped because all the, you know, as far as getting all the gear down there and stuff, they've been through all that before.
Yeah.
Just a couple years ago. So. I don't know. I'm excited. I can't wait to watch it. It looks like I might be watching it from an island down in Belize. So,
well,
close to the ocean.
I'll be watching it from a corner of the country, just not the corner that the Citrus Bowl is in. I'll be watching it from Arizona. But it'll be, yeah.
It always seems that Notre Dame plays somewhere else the year we don't go out to Phoenix, but then when we go to Phoenix, I mean, when we're not going to Phoenix, then they're playing the Fiesta Bowl or something.
Yeah. All right, that's all we've got. We will be giving away another pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters, so be sure to tweet your score prediction for this game for a chance to win a pound of fresh coffee from Main Street Roasters. They're a small batch roaster here in Napanee, Indiana, mainstreetroasters.com. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Hopefully you guys are going to have a happy new year, and hopefully Notre Dame can get the new year started off right with a win. I don't know. Anything else, Randall?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.